African Americans and all athletes in
good
the US.
And just forget the news. Another text from Call, don't know who it is. Jeff Fenwick and Johnny Lewis.
Great one. We'll take a break now for the news. After the break, we've got our legend of the game. It is Craig Young.
I'm Arthur Stevens. The wedding of Prince Harry to Meghan Markle has taken place at Windsor, and they now become the Duke and Duchess of Sussex. The couple exchanged vows in a ceremony which saw a mix of hymns, gospel and classical music. The royal family were joined by Meghan's mother, Dori Ragland, as well as celebrities including Oprah Winfrey, Elton John, David Beckham and George and Amal Clooney. Tens of thousands of people gathered in Windsor for the event, with around 1 billion people watching the televised event. And the wedding was overseen by the Archbishop of Canterbury, Justin Welby, who led the couple in their vows.
Meghan, I give you this ring.
Meghan, I give you this ring.
As a sign of our marriage.
As a sign of our marriage.
With my body, I honour you.
With my body, I honour you.
All that I am, I give to you.
All that I am, I give to you.
And all that I have.
And all that I have.
I share with you.
I share with you.
Within the love of God.
Within the love of God.
Father, Son, and Holy Spirit.
Father, Son, and Holy Spirit.
Harry, I give you this ring.
Harry, I give you this ring.
As a sign of our marriage.
As a sign of our marriage.
With my body, I honor you.
With my body, I honor you.
All that I am, I give to you.
All that I am, I give to you.
And all that I have.
And all that I have.
I share with you.
I share with you.
Within the love of God.
Within the love of God.
Father, Son, and Holy Spirit.
Father, Son, and Holy Spirit.
Liberal Party bosses are said to explain to the rank-and-file one they're not running a candidate in a key federal by-election. West Australian Liberal Senator Dean Smith says it's not too late to choose a candidate for the seat of Perth, with the by-election still not officially called. Senator Smith wrote an opinion piece for the West Australian yesterday calling on his party to run a candidate in Perth, which Labor holds by just 2.2%. But Treasurer Scott Morrison has insisted that Perth is a long-time Labor seat. Two people were winched to safety after their boat overturned off southeastern Tasmania yesterday afternoon. The Tasmania Police Westpac Rescue Helicopter picked up the two people after their 5.5-metre sailing catamaran overturned in Frederick Henry Bay. Marine and Rescue and the Dodgers Ferry Surf Lifesaving Club helped find the vessel and rescue the pair. Back overseas, China's landed long-range bombers on a new airport created on an island in the South China Sea, an area claimed by several Chinese neighbours. This from the BBC's Stephen McDonald.
Beijing has been gradually building up its military facilities on island structures which were once reefs. Now at a new airport in disputed waters of the South China Sea, long-range H-6K bombers have been taking off and landing for the first time. The Chinese Air Force says the training drills will help it reach all regions and strike in all directions. The exercises have also featured simulated attacks on ocean targets.
This is Air News. A big night of sport on both sides of the world. Firstly, football, and Eden Hazard's first half penalty proved decisive as Chelsea salvaged their season, beating Manchester United 1-0 in the FA Cup final in what's widely expected to be manager Antonio Conte's swan song. The Belgian searing pace earned the spot kick in the 21st minute after forcing Phil Jones into a desperate lunging tackle, and he coolly tucked it away for what proved to be the winner. Meanwhile, Glasgow's Celtic have cruised to a record-breaking second successive domestic treble after beating Motherwell 2-0 to win the Scottish Cup final. First-half goals from Callum McGregor and Olivier Nechem were enough to earn the runaway Premiership champions a third trophy of the season and repeat last year's treble, a feat unprecedented in the Scottish game. Rugby league and a fuming Melbourne have reportedly already contacted the NRL over two Manly players allegedly returning almost 2 minutes early from the sin bin. The Storm was seething after Manly 5'8 Dylan Walker and teammate Api Korosau, who were sin bin for their role in a second-half brawl, returned before 10 minutes had lapsed. Melbourne's Curtis Scott was sent off for throwing a flurry of punches at Walker in last night's fiery Amy Park clash, which saw the Sea Eagles 24-4 winners over the Storm. Other winners yesterday, the Titans and Souths. In AFL, and Jordan Ngoi's stocks continue to rise with a mercurial Collingwood forward kicking a career-high 6 goals in the Magpies' 28-point victory over Slumping St Kilda. Sydney, meanwhile, tamed the Dockers by 59 last night. Australian Independent Radio News.
Don't whinge and whine about the traffic. Think of the wine you have at home. A glass of Windy Peak Shiraz Grenache. By De Bortoli, of course. Here's the traffic.
Look out before you cross the road and around construction sites. Remove your headphones and don't get distracted by your mobile. Increased construction across Sydney means more trucks, so be truck aware. In Minto, there's been a crash on Pembroke Road approaching Bend Lomond Road. Southbound traffic is affected there. In the city, major roads from the CBD to Piedmont still closed. That includes the Carl Expressway over Circular Quay for the half marathon this morning. And if you're off to the airport, it's heavy on Marsh Street and Airport Drive approaching the International Terminal. Dinner's done with Red Rooster's whole roast chicken, family chips and large pumpkin couscous for just $25. Red Rooster, winner, winner. T's and C's apply. See website for details. I'm Solomon Gates, number one in racing on Sky Sports Radio.
G'day guys, Nolby here. Sutton City's letting every ABN holder take more than they give this end of financial year on the tough new Holden Colorado pickup. Priced from just $39,990 drive away with a 5-year warranty and roadside assist plus an amazingly low 3.99% per annum finance rate for ABN holders. Check them out online at suttoncityholden.com.au or drop by 2 Link Road, Zetland and ask, what about me?
MD14314.
Window shopping takes on a whole new meaning at Wideline.
Take a closer look at Wideline's showstopper of a showroom at Ricebury.
That's where you'll find an extensive range of residential, architectural and commercial aluminium windows and doors.
And you can't look past their timber windows and doors either.
Customer parking and a dedicated kids' room make for hassle-free window shopping at Wideline.
Now open at 593 Botany Road, Rosebery.
Only 700 metres from Green Square Station.
Wideline. Sky Sports Radio, Sydney weather.
Just looking at the noms for Warwick Farm on Wednesday. However, Sydney area, sunny, winds west to southwesterly, 15 to 20 kilometres an hour, becoming light in the middle of the day. A maximum today, Raymond, of 20 degrees. It's going with our theme of great unions and, of course, the royal wedding overnight. What is the current temperature at Castle Hill and the expected maximum for London? Derry.
Ah, very clever, James. Castle Hill currently 9 degrees, heading for a top of 20 degrees. And at London, Derry, currently 9 degrees, heading for a top temperature. Sunny day, 22 at London, Derry.
Was that exactly the same as Castle Hill?
A bit warmer at London, Derry.
Right next door to each other.
So every time the Firebirds give away a penalty, it eats up valuable seconds.
He shot this from Harden. He drains it. 53-51, 30 seconds on the clock. Julie Fitzgerald on her feet.
You're listening to the Big Sports Breakfast Weekend, brought to you by Penrith Mazda, the BT50 experts. More than 300 new Mazdas in stock over 5 acres at Mulgoa Road, Penrith.
Yeah, welcome back to the program. It's the final hour of the Big Sports Breakfast Weekend, 13:53:53. That's the open line number. Got a big hour coming up for you as well. Craig Young, you'd be excited about this. He'd be one of the guys you would have followed as a youngster.
I was there in the 79 grand final too. Yes,
79?
Yeah.
Okay.
Beating Canterbury 17-13, and that was the one that Craig Young captained the Dragons.
There you go. We'll talk to him about that. He'll be our legend of the game very shortly. We'll have a sports update and a wedding update from Tanya. We'll get a soccer update from Robbie Slater. We're going to speak to Anthony Seibold as well, the South Sydney Rabbitohs coach. A big win for them. Well, a win for them last night. Controversial circumstances. 20 points to 19 over the Cowboys. A bit of a concern over Sam Burgess and his knee. But reports being that Greg Inglis back to near enough his best, which is good for, well, it's good for Queensland.
Good for rugby league.
Good for South Sydney. And he may well be the next Australian captain.
Good point. Yeah. When we actually discussed that with Cameron Smith's retirement, who would you make this the Kangaroo captain?
Well, a Queensland captain, I'd undoubtedly make Greg Inglis the Queensland captain.
There's been some talk it might not be him, but you've got to go with GI,
follow
haven't
him
you?
Everywhere.
Yeah, you've got to go with GI.
Mm.
And you know what? I agree. Probably Australian captain as well. Doesn't speak a lot on the field, but every player respects him.
I think he speaks a lot on the field. He doesn't speak a lot off the field. You see him last night when he's highly demonstrative at the back end of that game. Talking about what was happening. So, Greg Inglis talks.
About that.
Yeah, absolutely. Greg Inglis talks, people listen.
Yeah.
When this man talks, people listen as well. He was a great front rower for St George, for New South Wales,
great
and Australia. And as we said, a leader. supplied us one of the most enduring images of grand finals back in 2010 with his son. But a great career in his own right. And it's great to have Craig Young as our legend of the game. He joins us on the line. G'day, Craig.
Yeah, good morning.
Thanks very much for joining us. I do appreciate it. And looking forward to having a chat about your career. The interesting thing about this one, Craig, is we usually talk about a family influence in getting involved in the game or whatever it is that you happen to excel at. But your father, Bob, was actually an excellent soccer player, and that's the path you took very early on in your career.
Yeah, Dad B played for Australian soccer and toured South Africa of all places, actually, during his career. And I played soccer till I was 16. The only reason I started league was having trials for the first Australian schoolboys team.
Okay.
And went to Cromer High School, and they were short of a front rower. And the sportsmaster asked me to play, and I think about five games later, they were announcing the side. I'll never forget, it was at Seaford Oval, actually. We went for games down there, and they're reading out the names after the final, which we won. And my mate Jack Jeffries was standing on the field, and they started calling the names out. And they called Jack's name out, and Royce Arliff and all the rest of them, and I was last, and I said, they called my name, and I said to Jack, I said, what have we done wrong? We've done something wrong, have we? I didn't really realise what it was about.
Your fifth game of rugby league, and you get selected in the Australian schoolboys side.
Yeah, something like that, yeah.
Gee, it's extraordinary. Obviously, it came naturally to you, Craig, but when that decision had to come to choose between soccer or rugby league, was there any family pressure either way? Did you feel an allegiance to stay with your father's sport? And, of course, your brother also reached an elite level in soccer as well.
Yeah, brother played in St George in the soccer and down in Laura for a long time. No, Dad was supportive. He's a hard worker. He was an engineer in the coal mines. And I'll never forget when I come back, I told him I was going down to Seaford for a school excursion. They didn't tell him I was playing rugby league. So I come home and I said, Dad, I said, I've got to get a passport. He said, what do you need? You're not going anywhere. What do you need a passport for? And I explained it to him. And I'll never forget it. He said, well, we've got to get you fit because you don't know how to play, so you've got to be fit. So every day after school, we used to go down to Balambi. He was a coach in Balambi now at the time. And he'd go down and he'd just run me for about 2 hours.
Wow.
Yeah, right.
That was the Australian schoolboys tour of Great Britain you were selected on, hence the part.
Yeah, what was 72, yeah.
How old were you then, Craig?
Roy Masters was the coach.
That's right. How old were you then, Craig?
16.
Gee, there you go. And the turning point in your life, in your career.
Oh, we just take it as it comes. It's the way it is. So it's like everyone's got to take advantage of opportunities to present themselves.
Mm. Well, speaking of opportunities that presented themselves, by 1977, you're just 20 years of age. Well, you're 19 when you come into the first grade side. You end up winning the comp that year. How did you get to the Dragons? What was the impact that someone like a Harry Bath, legendary player and coach, had on you very early on in your career, Craig?
Well, how it come about, Oscar Dennison was a Kiwi international and played with Newtown. And Harry knew Oscar, and Oscar was the coach at Coromel. And Oscar rung him and said, have a look at this young bloke. And that was about it. And I remember going back, Frank Facer come down to sign me, and my dad was very frugal with his money, and he said, no, we want more money, and play for country next year, get more money. So Dad sort of knocked the offer back. Mm-hmm. I couldn't sleep, so I rung. Frank left me his number, so I rung Frank the next day. I took a day off school to do it. My dad was at work, and Frank drove down and signed the contract.
What did your dad say when you told him, Craig?
Should have got more money.
Do you remember the amount?
Oh, it was something like $2,000, I think, whatever it was. It wasn't a lot.
Yeah. Well, Craig, that was, Jimmy said, 1977, and it was famous for, obviously, the St George win, and the team became known as Bath's Babes, a very young St George side. Why did it click? Was there a particular reason? Why was it such a year when everything just works so well for that young team?
Well, it's Harry, his experience, and that was, I was very fortunate to have good coaches in my career, like with Oscar. He was a Kiwi international front row, and Roy in the early days, and obviously Harry.
Mm.
And like Harry, a lot of people don't realise Harry's played over 600 games, coached Australia.
Yeah, yeah.
And that, but it's just a team. Sometimes it happens. It's just everyone got on well. All the wives and girlfriends got on well, and we spent a lot of time with each other off the field.
Yeah.
And, like Bruce Starkey and Edgy and Rocket and Teddy Goodwin. Mm. And it was just one of those things. Everyone just got on well together. And as the year developed, we started to click.
The grand final first up and then the replay. It was a week later, because sometimes they played it a couple of days later when the Kangaroo Tour was on, but it was a week later. What was that week like, knowing that you'd got so close, Parramatta, of course, striving for their first, and then you come out and you end up beating them comfortably in the replay?
Well, it was very relaxed. Harry, throughout his experience, I remember coming up, we used to play soccer before we'd warm up, before we'd train, and Harry just come out and said, go and have a game of soccer, and the first night, and just we'd sat around talking around in the middle of the field, having a laugh.
Yeah.
He took the pressure off, and he knew we were capable, and it's just a matter of getting us.
Well, Craig, obviously that was a 9-all draw, the famous 9-all draw in the following week, as Jimmy said, had that week between for the replay, 22-0 for the Dragons. They defeated the Parramatta Eels. What happened in 1978 to the Dragons?
Oh, we got lazy.
Mm.
Simple as that. You win the comp, and we didn't probably train as hard. And then we tried to pick up the conditioning of it during the season, and that doesn't work, as we found out. And it was our own doing. There's no other really factors to it.
Mm-hmm.
And we woke up and realised that if you don't put the hard work in, you get nothing.
Yeah. You obviously didn't get lazy though, Craig. You made your debut for Australia in 1978, third test v the Kiwis. What are your memories of wearing the green and gold at the senior level for the first time? It was at the SCG. It was a Saturday. And there were 6,541 people there.
Right.
Geez, is that all?
Yeah,
it's amazing. And the team was full of absolute legends, for Fulton and Bosted and Michael Crane. What were the memories of that first debut for Australia?
Oh, just the feeling of obviously being selected and at a young age, and running out there and standing there with the anthem and all that, and the camaraderie we had, and it's fantastic. Something you just never lose you.
Next step, you go on a Kangaroo Tour. Player of the Tour on that one. You play in all five tests. You must feel at that point, Craig, that you're on top of your game. You're a young player, but you're clearly the best front rower in the competition.
Oh, you just do your best. I learned from 78. You got to work hard, and that never left me. And really, I didn't think too much about it, to tell you the truth. Because I was busy. I was in the police force. I had the wife and I had four kids young, and life was pretty busy.
Mm. Yeah.
You don't get a lot of time to reflect, and that's sometimes a good thing.
Mm. Let's get on with it.
You've got to worry about tomorrow, not worry about yesterday.
Exactly. Well, Craig, can I ask you, when you came back from that Kangaroo Tour, and I think you were still 22 at the time, and you were awarded the captaincy of arguably one of the most famous sporting clubs in the world, the St George Dragons, for 1979. When you were told you were going to be captain, did you take a moment to pause and reflect on just how far you had come at such a young age?
Well, not really. It was Harry just came out in the third one day. He said, "You're captain."
That's his way of doing it. It sounds, I think.
And I said, "Okay." I said, "What about Edgy? Edgy was the captain."
Yeah.
So I went and seen Edgy. I said, "What's going on?" I said, "I'm not." I said, "If Edgy's not comfortable with it," I said, "Edgy said, no, I'm fine." He said, "His form wasn't rate at that time, and so that's basically what happened.
Mm. Yeah. Is it different to captain a grand final winning side as it is to play in a grand final winning side?
The important thing is, one of the important things as a captain is you've got to get your own game in order.
Mm.
Because when the pressure's on, they look to you to lead. So you can't worry about other people. You've got to worry about yourself and get your form right and that. And the rest of, we had experienced players, with Rocket and Teddy Goodwin, Andrew Starkey, A.G. Robert Stone. So there's plenty of experience in around the team, and obviously Harry was there.
Yeah. First Origin game you played in, from what I understand, what I've read, you'll be able to tell us whether it's true or not. The preparation of the New South Wales side, Craig, wasn't quite there compared to the Queenslanders. Did it take a while for New South Wales to get State of Origin?
Yes, that sums it up.
Mm.
I think from memory that the New South Wales players played on the Sunday.
Yeah.
And the Queenslanders were allowed, they didn't have to play.
Mm.
So that was the start of it.
Yeah.
And we didn't quite pick that up. But you summed it up right. It took New South Wales a little while to get it, I think, is the best way to put it. Mm.
Craig, you mentioned earlier also in the police. How long did you juggle your police force career with your rugby league career?
No, I was in the police all the whole time.
Mm. And obviously, you like that line of work. I suppose a modern-day player wouldn't have the opportunity to do that now, would they, Craig, to combine two careers, basically?
Yeah. Well, again, you had to do it.
Yeah.
With four kids and that to look after, and just that's what you did.
Yeah.
There was times I was working afternoon shift, they'd drop me off, I'd go to train and go back to work, or night shift, but you didn't. You just done, as I said, you got to worry about tomorrow, not yesterday, and you just got on with it.
Yeah, different times, isn't it?
And there were so many good moments. The 82 Kangaroo Tour, your second Kangaroo Tour, the Invincibles for the first time. Did their pressure start to mount towards the back end of that tour about making sure you did go through undefeated, Craig?
Well, that was a special team. Obviously, those sort of players come together, and again the camaraderie was obviously we enjoyed each other's company and we enjoyed the obviously other things beside the footy, we were going on little trips to pubs over there and a few other things, and it was just a special time.
Craig, just fast forward to 1985, that was the year when the St George Dragons dominated all three grades. They won the two lower grades, but the grand final, 7-6 to the Bulldogs. Was that the one that got away, Craig?
Yeah, I think so. It was a bit disappointing to lose any major game, particularly grand final. Yeah, we just, I think we lost Johnny Fifita, one of our best ball runners. He got injured in the semi, and he took a bit of punch away from us. And for his credit, they, the rule with the, I think our fullback Glenn Burge, when in those days you catch the ball in goal, is a line dropout. And Turvey just putting the ball up, and the tactic worked. They had trouble getting out the back end of the field and I think they changed the rule next year.
They did. Craig, the last thing I want to ask you about is the embrace that you and Dean shared in 2010. It was captured by all the cameras. I'd imagine that there's a little part of you that's a bit embarrassed about it, but it was a great window into, the emotion between father and son and between football manager and player. What are your thoughts on that moment in 2010 after the St George Illawarra Dragons had won the premiership?
Well, it was knowing where Dean had that knee injury. I'll never forget, we one of the many meetings with surgeons and things at the time. The surgeon said when he got staff out of the op and had to get the media redone, a few other things. But I remember the surgeon saying, "Well, we're walking out, you never play it like to play league again, let alone NRL." And Dean said, "Yes, I will."
Mm.
And you just can't understand the hard work went in, and you know, you like to see people get rewarded for hard work, and that's what he done.
Yeah.
No, exactly. Yeah.
No, I can hear the emotion in your voice now. It's fantastic. Well, Craig, great career. Great to have you on the program. We do appreciate it. And
okay.
Thanks for being our legend of the game.
My pleasure. Have a good day.
Thanks, Craig.
There he is, okay. Craig Young. Dragons fans, what a treat.
Yeah. What a player. What a colossus of a prop forward he was.
Chose his words well there. Talked about the great times and as much as anything.
Can you imagine, like, when you started playing, Jim, was the days of a footballer having a career outside of the game, was it all but gone then? Because Craig Young juggled the two careers.
No,
right
it was
through.
Very much in vogue.
Okay, when did it sort of disappear?
Super League.
Made it professional.
1995, yeah. It all changed. 1353-53, open line number. We'll take a break. We'll be back with more.
The only place to catch the very best equine superstars from around the globe, first time, every time, is right here. Live and exclusive across the Sky Racing Network.
Your business is building up for the end of financial year.
With a bit of cash flow, you could build up your inventory.
But the banks keep tearing it all down, saying, no.
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 Turn that no around and get on with it with OnDeck. Apply online in 10 minutes using just 3 bank statements. The cash you need to grow your business could be in your account in just one business day. Visit ondeck.com.au. OnDeck, the small business loan specialist.
Loan subject to lender approval. OnDeck partners with MYOB.
Sports Breakfast Weekend with a sports update. Here's Tanya Thomas.
A comprehensive 4-0 win for Manly over Melbourne in last night's NRL game at Amy Park, 24-4. The game, however, shrouded with controversy when Storm management reportedly phoned the NRL complaining that two Manly players returned to the field 2 minutes early after being sent to the sin bin. An injury hit South Sydney stole a last-minute win over North Queensland in Townsville. The Cowboys led by 1 point after a 76-minute field goal. South then received a penalty after Jake Granville was done for offside. Rabbitohs won 20-19. And the Gold Coast 33 beat Newcastle 26. Today, St George, Illawarra and Canberra play in Mudgee and Cronulla is home to Canterbury. The Super Rugby hoodoo is over, with the Waratahs defeating the Highlanders last night 41-12 at Allianz Stadium. The 6-2 victory snapped a 40-match winning streak for New Zealand Super Rugby teams over Australian teams. Captain Michael Hooper admitted he had grown very tired of fielding questions about the Trans-Tasman curse, saying it's great to have that stuff put behind us. The Lions 42 beat the Brumbies 24, Hurricanes 38, the Reds 34, Crusaders 32-24 over the Blues, and Hayden Parker drop goal after full time gave the Sunwolves a thrilling 26-23 win over the Stormers. Lance Franklin kicked 3 goals for the Swans in his comeback match after spending 4 weeks on the sideline with a bruised foot. The Swans beating Fremantle in the AFL match at the SCG 111-52. Ben Brown inspired North Melbourne to a 43-point win over GWS with 5 goals in the third quarter. The Kangaroos winning the game 112-69. A surprise win for Essendon over Geelong by 34 points. Collingwood 100 beat St Kilda 72. And Port Adelaide beat the Gold Coast by 40 points in front of just under 11,000 people in Shanghai. After a last-minute loss last week, the Giants held strong to close out the Queensland Firebirds 53-51 in Super Netball in Sydney, while the Swifts take on West Coast Fever today in Perth at 3 o'clock. Rick Kelly had his first supercar win in 7 years, taking out race one at the Winton Sprint in Victoria yesterday, and described it as being better than winning Bathurst. Qualifying for today's race two gets underway at 10:25. Aussie Mark Leishman and 21-year-old American rookie Aaron Wise are in the lead after the third round of the Byron Nelson Golf Classic in Dallas. At 18-under, the duo lead by 5 shots. Sitting in a tie for third at 13-under is fellow Aussie Matt Jones. Rafael Nadal beat Novak Djokovic 7-6-6-3 to advance to the final of the Italian Tennis Open. Rafa will play Alexander Zverev in the final after the German beat Marin Cilic in the semi. Simona Halep and Elena Svitolina will meet in the women's final. The 2019 Triple Crown is alive after Justify won this morning's Preakness Stakes at Pimlico. The horse won the Kentucky Derby 2 weeks ago. Trainer Bob Baffert will take Justify to the Belmont Stakes in 3 weeks to try and emulate what he did with American Pharoah in 2015. NBA playoffs this morning, Game 3, the Cavs and the Celtics in Cleveland. Boston lead the best of seven series 2-0. Chelsea defeated Manchester United 1-0 to win the FA Cup for the first time overnight since 2012, and it's the eighth time in their history. Eden Hazard scored the winning goal from a penalty in the 23rd minute, while Celtic defeated Motherwell 2-0 to win the Scottish FA Cup. Do you remember when the date for the royal wedding was announced, and we noticed that it clashed with the FA Cup final?
Yes.
And
yes.
Prince William is the president of the FA. In recent years, has made the presentation to the winners. We're wondering what he was going to do. There actually was talk there for a while that they were going to send him in a helicopter to Wembley to present it and then come back to the reception. Obviously, he's done the right thing and he stayed for the reception. but the honour was given to Ray Wilkins, someone I'm not familiar with, but had actually played for both clubs, for both Chelsea and Man United, at quite a distinguished career. He died in April at the age of 61, so his widow Jackie presented the cup.
Nice touch, wasn't it?
Yeah.
61, that's too young.
Mm. Way 69. Too young.
Yeah, yeah.
So William made it, stayed at the wedding.
He did the right thing.
He did the right thing. He did.
You've got to do
him.
The right thing.
Yeah.
So there's our wedding update, but it has a sports bent to it. That's fantastic.
Exactly.
It's been an arduous 2 weeks, let me tell you, keeping abreast of all this wedding stuff going on, but my poor long-suffering husband, probably glad to see that it's all over.
I didn't mind watching a bit of it last night. It was good, though, to see Windsor Castle, that wasn't it?
Yeah.
Last year.
Yeah.
That was great.
So. Fantastic. 13:53:53 is the open line. Now, we've got Robbie Slater, our football man there, ready to go on the line, actually. Hello, Robbie.
Hey, guys. How you doing?
Yeah, very well. Unfortunately, Ray Wilkins' widow, Jackie, was not presenting the medals to Manchester United. Fair penalty?
Yeah, look, I mean, it's one of those, you know, you see them given, you see them don't, and, you know, there's a long way in the game to go for Manchester United to get back.
Sure.
Is what would I say, and United were horrible in the first half and got a little bit better after the break, but it was a tight game and bit of a disappointing final, really. It was, you know, I think the wedding was more exciting at times, yeah. But...
Hang on a minute.
You know, Chelsea, get the cup. Mm-hmm. It is a game these days that's lost its way a little bit, the FA Cup final. I mean, it's still a big trophy, but certainly doesn't hold what it used to have. But certainly for Antonio Conte, it's probably his last game in charge for Chelsea. So, pleasing for them that they finish it with a trophy.
I was going to ask you, Robbie, with that silverware, would he keep his job, but you think he's gone?
Sorry?
With that silverware, would he keep his job, but you think he's gone?
No, well, look, I'm not sure if one, he'd keep his job, or two, he intends to stay.
Okay.
Right.
So I think it might be a mutual thing. It just seems that way. I mean, that's unofficial, of course, but it'll be interesting to see what happens in the weeks ahead.
Yeah.
What about Manchester United? No trophy for them this year. Jose, second year there.
That'll be pressure.
How's that shaping up? Yeah.
He'll stay, but look, he's pretty unpopular already with the United fans over the style of football they play. So they need, you know, finished easily second in the league. You know, they've lost the final of the FFA Cup. Not the FFA Cup, of course, the FA Cup.
Yeah.
Mm. No, he'll keep his job, but there'll be pressure on him next season for sure. Mm. I'd go as far as if he doesn't win the Premier League next season, he'll be gone.
Yeah, fair enough. Just a quick one, Robbie. Celtic defeated Motherwell 2-0 overnight in the Scottish FA Cup. The second consecutive season now they've got the domestic treble in Scotland.
Yeah, well, it's a bit of a one-horse race, isn't it, in Scotland? Rangers are going to get better over time, you would imagine. But, you know, congratulations to Celtic fans. And, they're certainly enjoying,
dominance.
In terms of trophies, their richest run in this last 5, 6, 7 years because of the demise of Rangers, of course.
Yes. Yeah, yeah. Did Tommy Rodgick, was he playing in that game?
Yeah, I think he would have
been.
To
be honest, I didn't see the game because I was watching the English one, and then I haven't looked at it, but I would be very surprised if he wasn't.
Yeah, there he was. One of the first men picked, James.
Yeah,
or I just wonder whether he's fully fit or not. So that's good news. Bit closer to home, a couple of new coaches for the Sydney teams next year. Stevie Corriker, I don't think that surprised anyone. Marcus Babbel. Now, listen, you Liverpool supporters, don't get all fanboy on him during the course of next year.
It's an incredible signing, really. It's just like out of left field. Yeah, he has got a coaching career to back up. He was last in charge 4 years at FC Luzern in Switzerland, and he's also coached, you know, the likes of Hertha Berlin in Germany and Stuttgart and Hoffenheim. So, you know, he does have a decent coaching career behind him, which is certainly not over because he's now at the Wanderers. But as a player, of course, over you know, nearly 200 games for Bayern Munich and then, you know, 40-odd games for Liverpool, certainly it's certainly a name.
Absolutely.
And it's going to be very interesting how that works out.
Exactly. And next Sunday morning, Robbie?
The big one.
Yeah.
Hey, come on.
No, it is. It's huge.
This is Real Madrid.
Would we be too excited?
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah, absolutely. Mm. But, yeah, Madrid haven't been at their best this season, but they're still in the final.
Yep.
You know, they've won the last two, and they have Ronaldo, so it's going to be difficult. Liverpool, of course, their last game, 4-0 over Brighton. Mo Salah scored, and, you know, that front three for Liverpool, that's the key to the final.
Absolutely.
$220 Real Madrid, $360 the draw, $3 for Liverpool to raise the trophy. Real Madrid, $1.65, Liverpool, $220
Get all over them.
Oh, yeah. Obviously do it responsibly, but...
Well, very responsibly, but all over them responsibly.
We love it. Good on you, Rob.
Good on you, guys.
Fantastic, mate. There he is, Robbie Slater, our football expert. We'll take a break here on the Big Sports Breakfast Weekend. After the break, we're going to have a chat with Anthony Seibold, the Rabbitohs coach.
Dynamic Syndications, in association with Arrowfield Stud, have a potential stallion prospect to own and race with Gay and Adrian. By Australia's champion sire Reduce Choice, our colt's from Pretty Pins, Group 3 winner of 6 races. He's a three-quarter brother to Group 1 winner LA Wonder and related to Group 1 winner Tavachi. For $13,550 a share, join our Dynamic Arrowfield Gay and Adrian team. For info, visit dynamicsyndications.com or call 1-800-619-999. AFSL 3360808.
Window shopping takes on a whole new meaning at Wideline.
Take a closer look at Wideline's showstopper of a showroom at Ricebury.
That's where you'll find an extensive range of residential, architectural and commercial aluminium windows and doors.
And you can't look past their timber windows and doors either.
Customer parking and a dedicated kids room make for hassle-free window shopping at Wideline.
Now open at 593 Botany Road, Ricebury.
Only 700 metres from Green Square Station.
Wideline.
To the Big Sports Breakfast Weekend, brought to you by Penrith Mazda, the BT50 experts. More than 300 new Mazdas in stock over 5 acres at Mulgoa Road, Penrith.
Duly converted by Adam Reynolds, that penalty. As a result of that, the Rabbitohs won 20 points to 19 against the Cowboys. 1353-53 is the open line number. We have our unions as our talk topic today, Raymond, after the nuptials between Harry and Meghan. Very emotional about that. Was no one in this room. best unions, Wayne Bennett and Darius Boyd. They've renewed their vows on several occasions. That comes in from Steve. Yes, we've had a couple of nominees on that one, Steve. Very, very clever of you. Very clever last night for the South Sydney Rabbitohs to get that win up there. They played well, but it looked like the match was gone. They somehow turned it around. They continue that winning streak. They've worked their way into the top four, and everyone is singing the praises of their bright young coach, Anthony Seibold, and he's been good enough to join us on the line. G'day, Anthony.
G'day, guys. How you going?
Yeah, really well. Appreciate your time. I know you're busy jumping on planes, et cetera.
The
penalty itself, are you comfortable with the decision? Obviously very comfortable with the decision.
Yeah, obviously, in the box at the time, we thought Jakey Granville was offside. You know, it was, you know, I thought it was the right decision, but obviously, you know, really brave call with the game and the balance like that. But, you know, at the end of the day, Adam Reynolds didn't get an opportunity to you know, kick the field goal with his right foot, so he had to go under the left foot. So, yeah, we were comfortable with that, but obviously very, you know, so I suppose, you know, bizarre circumstances to decide a game.
Yeah, Anthony, good morning. Congratulations. Going to Townsville and getting 2 points is never easy, but after a sluggish start to the season, if I can put it that way, Anthony, there's something building at the Rabbitohs now. I think you won 7 of your last 9 into the top four.
Yeah, well, we've, you know, been comfortable with the way that we've improved. Certainly nowhere near, you know, content. And, you know, just sort of said the first 2 weeks, you know, we didn't get the result we were looking for, but yeah, internally, we actually saw some good signs, although the results didn't go our way. So, You know, we're sort of, as I said, you know, we're comfortable that we're improving, but, you know, we've got a lot of work to do, and, you know, it's sort of only, you know, still early in the season, I suppose, from a game point of view. And, you know, we understand that, you know, we need to be consistent and continue to work hard. That's the main thing.
Will there be a continual evolution of what you've started thus far, Anthony? And if you look at what the Rabbitohs were doing last year compared to what they're doing this year, and you can look from round one to round 11 and the differences there, will that continue? Because I think you speak to Rabbitohs fans and watching the side play, it's an attractive brand of footy, and I think everyone is as excited by that as they are by the winning.
Yeah, certainly, you know, we put a lot of time into, you know, we call it our game model, you know, so how we want to attack is you know, the language we use, our game model with the players. And, you know, they've got a really sound understanding of it, and, you know, as you sort of said, you know, we need to continue to try and improve, but, you know, it's been effective so far for us. We understand that as the season progresses, you know, teams get a really good idea of what you're trying to do from an attacking point of view. They get to have a look at your trends in your game, et cetera. But, you know, we sort of have a principle-based attack rather than structure-based attack. So, you know, we want our guys sort of, you know, looking up, reading numbers, and, you know, I suppose, yeah, it'll continue to grow, hopefully, but, you know, certainly heading in the right direction. But look, I keep saying, we've got a lot of work to do, and, you know, we want to be humble and work hard, you know, continue to progress.
Well, Anthony, I think it's fair to say one of the cornerstones of your success has been your hooker. Damien Cook has been so good, particularly how he dashes out a dummy half and gets your team on a roll. Has he played himself into an Origin jumper?
Yeah, I hope so, for Cookie's sake. You know, it'd be a great story if he was selected now. You know, Cookie understands that he needs to continue to be consistent here with the Rabbitohs, you know, day to day and week to week with what he does in the games. But I think he's put a good chunk of games together, you know, since the start of the season. But, you know, it'd be great, you know, as I said, it'd be great for us as a club if Cookie got recognised at a higher level. I'm sure that he's up to playing State of Origin if selected. And, you know, it'd be, as I said, you know, it'd be a great story for Cookie, because I suppose he's been regarded as a fringe hooker in the past, but, you know, we've sort of shown a lot of faith in him, and I think he's started the year really strongly for us.
I think you're really well placed to answer this question, having been in the Melbourne Storm system, having been an assistant to Kevin Walters the last couple of years. What's the impact that the absence of Cameron Smith is going to have on that Queensland squad, Anthony?
Yeah, it'll be significant just from a, you know, an off-field point of view. You know, I found Smithy to be a tremendous leader. You know, everyone from, you know, externally can see that. You know, he you know, he's a very good player on the field, but I think it's what he brings on the field that, you know, teams will miss. And you probably saw a little bit of last night, I suppose, with the Storm. You know, Smithy hasn't missed a game for a while, and, you know, they certainly missed him last night. But, yeah, no, he's a great leader, very good person as well. He's very humble and hardworking. I think that probably shows in the teams that he plays for at the Storm there with the Origin side and with the Kangaroos too in the World Cup. You know, he's got great influence on the guys around him, so certainly he'll be missed.
You would have been happy with GI's form last night. He was running like the GI of old at times there, Anthony.
Certainly, you know, Greg's building nicely into the season. You know, with the Origin around the corner, you know, Kevy sort of already stated that Greg will be in the team there, so. You know, he's building nicely. He's down to probably his ideal playing weight as well. You know, he had a limited pre-season with you know, his rehab for his ACL, his leg injury. So, you know, limited preparation. But we saw signs of it at the back end of January, early February, where he sort of really progressed, you know, quickly over that sort of 4 or 5 week period. And he's been steadily building and got a bit of time at fullback last night. And he certainly looked dangerous at the back of shape there in attack.
Todd Carney, the club, South Sydney, have made it clear that they are not prepared to offer him a lifeline into the National Rugby League. How would you feel if your feeder club, North Sydney, were to give him the opportunity to play football in Sydney?
Yeah, I think, you know, as a club, we've sort of stated our position on that. You know, we've got a number of good young halfbacks in Adam Dewey, Dean Hawkins and Connor Tracy, who, you know, we'd like to develop. They're all those three guys are signed for next season. And, you know, we'd like to play our best, you know, under-20, you know, players in our Winter World Cup side. So, you know, certainly want to continue to develop those guys. As far as Todd's concerned, you know, I have heard that there's been a bit of press, but internally there's only been one conversation in and around that. You know, I think North Sydney may have met with Todd, but my understanding is that there's been no progression past that point. When it was put to us, you know, our preference is to develop our own, and that's the Rabbitohs way. So I haven't had any further conversation and haven't been on the radar, to be fair.
Fair enough. Hey, Anthony, it's never an easy game in the NRL these days, and you've got another tough road trip next Saturday night across the ditch to the Warriors at Mount Smart Stadium. I dare say you're already thinking about and preparing for that game now.
Yeah, certainly. You know, I'm a big believer in, your next job is your most important job. So, you know, overnight the coaches got together and we've, put together our review for this morning and we're still up here at Townsville and we're going to do our game review on the Cowboys and as I said, dump that game pretty quickly. We got the result we were looking for. It was a challenging game, as we expected. You know, the Cowboys were very much, up for a fight last night. It was a really tough slog, so we want to put that to bed this morning. And the players will have a day off tomorrow, and then on Tuesday we'll move straight into the Warriors. So, our next job, as I said, is our most important one.
Sammy Burgess, knee. We got an update on that?
Yeah, it's actually his glute. He said that he was able to go back on in the second half, and to be fair, I didn't want to risk it. I thought if we did put him back on there, you don't sort of want to mess around with your interchange too much. And,
sure.
And Sam's pulled up pretty good this morning, so I don't see him missing next week, but it was more precautionary. And obviously as I said, we'll wait and see with the medical staff, but he looks okay this morning.
Mm. Big glute, Anthony.
Sorry.
A big glute.
Oh, yeah, it is. Yeah, brothers.
Oh, Anthony, just on that same theme, Alex Johnston?
Yeah, Alex, a little bit of a strain with his hammy. We'll need to, get the medical staff to assess that. I've seen AJ this morning. He's still quite sore and tight there, but, with any of those types of strains, you need sort of 24, 48 hours to properly assess it. So once we get back to Sydney, the medical staff can have a really good look and, we'll just do whatever, rehab AJ needs to do. But, I don't think it's too much cause for concern.
Who has the biggest glutes, actually? Is it Thomas, George, Sam or yourself, Anthony, who's very, very good on your squat?
Yeah, no, certainly George. I think George squats the most in the club, so I'd say I think George is weighing about 126 kilos at the moment. So he shifts a fair bit of weight in the gym room. So I'd have to say George has got the biggest glutes.
Oh, I can't believe Coach Seabold's not in there taking him on. fantastic. Hey, well done, Anthony. Good win last night. Excellent form from the Rabbitohs, and we appreciate your time on a Sunday morning.
Yeah, good on you. Good on you guys. Thanks for having us.
Thanks,
Anthony Seabold there. You could see the time pressure was there. We couldn't let him get away, though, Raymond. Some questions to answer there. He was very big on his squats when he was a player.
Was he? Yeah.
Very big on his squats.
Were you big on your squats?
Nah. 1353 is the open line number. Right now, I tell you what, we've got our Victorian listener on the line, so that's singular, absolutely, because I want to ask him. I'm going to go straight to it, in fact. Brisbane Lions up against Hawthorn. Hodgie! Oh, Hodgie's a superstar. He's up against the old side. What's going to happen, Trent Lenscar?
Good morning to you, Jimmy and Ray. And there'll probably be just a little bit of word said before the game, and Hodgie will probably go around telling all the Brisbane blokes that say something about Isaac Smith. He doesn't like that. Say something about Ruffy. He's bagging because of his ginger hair. There'll be a lot of fun today, fellas, here at the Gabba.
Who's he going to kiss? Because he kissed Buddy when he played against him.
He kissed Buddy. He'll just give them all a smooch after the game. Why not? And hopefully that's when Hawthorn's got the four premiership points, fellas.
Yeah, fair enough. All right, let's go to the Dragons up against the Raiders. This one's at Glen Willow Oval in Mudgee.
Yes, and St George Illawarra looking to bounce back, and well called last week, fellas. You're both thinking South would be too good for the Dragons. Well, the Dragons are $1.37, the rebound against Canberra at $3.15, and the line there is 8.5. Do you see that the Dragons will regain their winning ways this afternoon, guys?
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah. Sharkies always very hard to beat at home, Trent. They're up against the Dogs this afternoon.
They are, and they've won their last three against Canterbury. Ray, they're $1.50 to defeat Canterbury at $2.65. The line there is 6.5. So I think that the Sharks will be too good. Any fancy in the margin betting, or just happy to take them with them giving away a 6.5 start?
Well, I can go the Sharks minus 6.5 today.
Yeah. All right.
Well, I'll take them at the line. Yeah. No, I think the Sharks win well.
And just in their margin betting.
6.5, eh?
Yeah.
there. And just in the margin betting options, you've got Cronulla 13 plus 275 and 1 to 12, 290, if that's what your fancy is.
Yeah, there you go. All right. Righto, let's go on now. And we've got Carlton up against Melbourne. Carlton, did they ever win last week, Carlton?
How did they beat Essendon and beat Geelong?
You played him in the form, right?
Oh, dear, I did. not surprisingly, the Blue Boys are rank outsiders against the Ds.
Yes, they've got a few missing. Eventually, they found the Kurnos to be touching the umpires. It took them a fair while to figure that out. The AFL Tribunal, they're $6 outsiders. Melbourne, $1.14. The line is 40.5. And I'm sorry, Ray, but I think Melbourne will be doing the job pretty easily this afternoon there at the MCG. The 3:20 game at the Gabba, which I'll be glued to. The Brisbane Lions are $2.85. And Hawthorn, $1.45. The line is 15.5. I'm not worried, fellas. I just want them to win. I don't care how much it's by. But then the big one of the day is 4:40 at Optus Stadium. We've got West Coast up against Richmond. Both of these sides are 7-1. Great starts to the season. Richmond's been favourite at the start of the week. West Coast have been the favourites for a couple of days now. It's $1.92 each of two. I think Richmond are going great, guys, but just purely because it's at Optus Stadium, I'd just take West Coast. But it should be a ripping finish to round nine.
And NBA, we're getting to the pointy end of the season, mate.
We are, Jimmy. They've had a couple of days off due to the way the TV structure is over there, but the Eastern Conference Finals resumes in around about 45 minutes' time. Cleveland at home, they need this. They're $1.35. Boston at $3.20. The line 6.5, and Boston's now all of a sudden favourites to win the Eastern Conference Finals. And just for tomorrow, at 10 o'clock, game three of the Western Conference Finals. That's tied at 1 apiece. Golden State, they're now at home. They're $1.28. Houston, $3.75. The line there is 7.5. The Warriors are $1.50 to win the title. And just to finish, tennis, Rome finals overnight for the women. Simona Halep, $1.65 against Elena Svitolina. That's at 9 o'clock. And then midnight for the men, Rafael Nadal, $1.20 against Alexander Zverev. Plenty happening, guys. You can check out all those markets and plenty more at tab.com.au.
Great work, Trent. Trent Lanscale there from tab.com.au. Time now to go to Scotty Foster from Steve Foster & Sons Quality Cars. And, Scotty, tell me, how did we go last week with our selling of the car?
Boys, we didn't sell that car, but as I did mention last week, we had a few listeners that were looking at cars.
Yes.
And I'm happy to say that Steve Zeropoulos picked up his new Cruze on Monday, and he's one very happy chappy. Also, Peter Till from Coffs Harbour. He's now bought a Renault Koleos from us, and we'll be delivering that car up to him one day during the week. So congratulations to both listeners. They bought themselves great vehicles, and they're going to be very happy.
Yeah, very good. That's good. Very good. All right, so we count that as a win for us.
That is a win.
Yeah, yeah, okay, yeah, all right, fair enough. So, yeah. Righto, what have you got on offer for the listeners today?
Yeah, today I'm advertising a very popular small SUV. It's a 2004 Honda CR-V automatic wagon. It's a four-cylinder, 2.4-litre engine. It's a beautiful all-wheel drive vehicle, and it only has 105,000 kilometres. It has logbooks with full service history, and it's one car that has been extremely well looked after and maintained. This car is superlative condition. It's black in colour and looks amazing. The automatic Honda CR-V comes with air conditioning, power steering, airbags, ABS brakes, power windows, cruise control, and you wouldn't believe it. It also comes with a built-in picnic table, so you can just pull over and have a picnic whilst on the road. So it's a little special that they put into these models. It's amazing. They think of everything. So, boys, this is an automatic Honda CR-V wagon. It's only done 105,000 kilometres, and it's on sale today for the listeners at just $7,990. You can't miss out on this one. It's a great little car. It's cheap. So go to the website, www.fostersqualitycars.com.au. Or give us a call on 96375024. And don't forget to mention Sky Sports Radio and receive a free 3-year warranty with any car purchase.
Great deal. And Scotty, if any potential buyers need some help with finance, they need to ask you.
Yeah, they certainly do. We've got great finance packages available, but we also have access to a lot of lenders. So this allows us to get the best possible rates, but also help us get a lot of people that couldn't previously get finance get into a car. So if you've had credit issues in the past, then now is the time to give us a call. If you're on a pension, have paid or unpaid defaults, starting a new business and need a work vehicle, even Uber drivers, then go to our website, www.fostersqualitycars.com.au, or give us a call on 96375024 and just let us help you help all the listeners out.
So you told us about Steve Zeropoulos. Yep. He bought the Cruze, and we've got Pete Deal from Coffs Harbour as well.
Yeah, you got Pete. He rang up last week, and he's now bought himself a Koleos, so we're shipping that up to him midweek, so Benny will be throwing it on the back of the car trailer and taking it up to him, which is just another option we offer for those country listeners or anyone, really. We'll do it Sydney Metro or in the country. So if you're after a car and you don't want to come to Sydney, just give us a call and we'll get it out there for you.
Yeah, absolutely. Now, Mountie's too strong for Winnie yesterday at Henson Park. Three games at Henson Park yesterday, three games at North Sydney Oval today. But you've got a special happy birthday message you want to send out there, mate.
Yeah, I do. I want to say happy 17th birthday to Maddie Pearson. She's my gorgeous stepdaughter. She's an outstanding young lady and the perfect sister and daughter. So happy birthday, Maddie, and thanks for being you. You're beautiful.
Oh, well said, Scotty. Geez,
Scotty Foster. Yeah. There's credit points everywhere there.
Yeah, well said.
Well done. Well done.
Oh, yeah, quick one from Parent. What's the update on the Broken Hill car, Scotty? Was that delivered in the end?
No, in the end we couldn't get it out to him, and he decided to try and buy something around Broken Hill because it was too hard for him to come down, and he didn't want to buy it without looking at it.
Fair,
unfortunately.
Mm. All right, we understand. We understand the tyranny of distance. Good on you, Scotty. Well done, mate. We'll speak again next week.
All right, boys. Thanks a lot.
Scotty Foster there from Steve Foster and Sons Quality Cars. Fosterscqualitycars.com.au, or you can give him a call, 9637 5024. 1353 53. That's the open line number, Roman. Why don't we go to calls there? Wayne is on the line. G'day, Wayne.
Hi, fellas. How are you going?
Really well, mate.
Mate, just in relation to these penalties in the 20-metre zone.
Yes.
I think the real deterrent has to be the severity of the penalty.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I've got a starting point, if you'd like to hear me out.
Mm-hmm.
My suggestion is to sin bin for 5+ minutes, plus being the time it takes the player to leave the field of play.
Yep.
Every second offender in the 20-metre and in-goal area. And the count recommences each time the attacking team re-enters the 20-metre zone.
Right.
Now I think that it takes the pressure off the referee having to make discretionary decisions in relation to when to sin bin the offender, when and how to issue the official so-called captain's warning.
Yeah.
And leaves everyone, coaches, players and fans, in no doubt.
Mm. Yeah,
it's got some merit.
I don't mind it. 5 minutes off for a sin bin. Mm. And I like them doing it earlier. We spoke to Zora about it. Do it early. Don't worry about the captain. When was the last time you saw a captain go, oh, okay, referee, and then turn around to all these players who are all spread out on the defensive line and go to them and say, oh, guys, we can't lie on the tackle anymore.
They're not spreading the message, are
they're
they?
They're not. Of course not. But if the referee just waved his arm, rolled his arm around like they do in the United Kingdom, in the English Super League, everyone goes, right, we're on notice.
Put Wayne down your little list.
Single asterisks for Wayne. Single asterisks. Guys, I know he gave away the penalty last night to hand South the win, but I think Jake Granville is a far bigger threat from dummy half than either Andrew McCulloch or Jake Friend. I think New South Wales will be happy if Granville is not picked. That's from Steve. Well, Steve, I have it on good authority that Ben Hunt will be named at hooker for Queensland, that Michael Morgan will be named at halfback, that Cameron Munster will be named at 5'8", that Valentine Holmes will be named on the wing because he's the goal kicker that they need, and that their 14th man or reserve that can come on and be the utility will be Anthony Milford.
There you go. Absolutely no chance of JT coming out of retirement?
Not at this point, I don't think. No. Okay. I think that ship has sailed. Mm. Let's go to the Bandit. Hello, Bandit.
G'day, boys. How you going?
Morning, Bandit.
What about Ray? Could I just want to have a chat to you after this, but what about this reunion? Jimmy Smith and Jimmy Smith.
What are you saying, Bandit?
Well, when you were a footballer, Jimmy,
yeah,
you were Jimmy Smith. When you were a cricketer, you were James Smith.
Oh, God, that's not
you
true.
You know, a bit more sophisticated, a bit more suave, you know, and a bit more brill cream in the hair.
Oh, come on. And maybe after the cricket.
And a bit more Vaseline on the shoulders and the biceps, mate. You know?
Bandit, you ring up with this stuff every time. That's not true.
You know, mate,
you're a good bloke, Jimmy, and I know that you take it well.
Good on you. Now, what do you want to have a chat to Raymond about?
I've got a horse similar to you, Jimmy. I've got a share in a racehorse, and it's having a barrier trial on Tuesday.
What's it called?
It's called Rock Ransom.
And where's the barrier trial? Cranbourne, did you say, mate?
Cranbourne. Yep. All I want you to do, Ray, if you can, is have a look at it.
Yep.
And it's in trial number 6. Just have a look at it and tell me what you think, because they this thing goes good, and I just need you. Okay. You're one of the best judges on air. I'm not piddling in your pocket, are you?
Thanks, Pat. That's race. It's in heat six. Did you say,
heat
Bandit?
Six. It's about 10:30. Yeah.
And what's it called?
Rock Ransom.
Okay. So what's your name? Is
six?
It Lovegrove or Bossy or Vining or Vining or Pool?
No, mate. Keep going.
It's heat nine, Bandit. Heat nine at 10:30.
Heat nine, isn't
yeah,
it?
Yeah, Rock Ransom. Yeah. It's a
This thing goes apparently. Dean Bernays thinks it's pretty good. And I just want to.
We'll have a look for sure. Yeah.
I'll tell you what you need to do, Bandit. And thanks for the call. What you do is once you've got the video of the trial, send it to Ray, like I do, and say, Ray, what do you think of this? Ray, what do you think of this?
Yours goes all right, James.
King's Trust on Wednesday. We can be excited about that. Yeah. Coming up on Racing HQ, Nowra Cup Day preview with John Scorse. Priscilla Smith, we'll look at Grafton. And remember, the BSB is back with